the Rizach list last summer to learn some prakim, some chapters in the amazing Sefer Shnitolas, which we're going to continue with. And I'm glad, since last summer, the author has put out around another 7 volumes of Svarim. This particular one, Shnitolas, that you received last summer, those over here, has now been reprinted in a more readable typeset. In the general set that's called Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, that now become very famous in the Olam HaTorah, in the world of Torah, all of the Svarim of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. So the Sefer that you have, I have two or three of them more, I have two or three more of them that I'll be able to bring next time. The Sefer is called Shnitolas, but now it's been published as Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, the 5th volume. So what you have in front of you, the pages that you receive now, are a few extra introductory notes to what you're going to have in the Shnitolas, beginning with page Mem Vav. Page Mem Vav is the section that deals with the Ahavas Hashem, love of God. Ahavas Hashem, which is a mitzvah midaraisa, it's a mitzvah from the Torah. Most of us were told when we were children, having said V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, and you shall love Hashem, we say it every single day and every single night, and over and over and over again, we're wondering exactly when does that happen, that we love Hashem? Or what does it even mean to love somebody who you can't recall ever meeting? And how do you love Hashem's Baruch? And usually, over the years, those who are courageous enough to ask that question are told, if you keep on doing mitzvahs, you'll eventually feel that. And I don't know about you, but I myself, and I'm sure some of you here, are wondering when that happens, since we've been trying to keep mitzvahs all of our lives. When does it happen to feel V'ahavta? And since it's a mitzvah from the Torah, the Rambam counts it as the third mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvah, is the mitzvah that's incumbent upon every Jewish man and woman over the age of mitzvah bas mitzvah, is the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it can't be that Hashem Yisbarach gave any mitzvah with... It's not possible for us, unless it's something related to the Beis HaMikdash, but if it's not dependent upon the Beis HaMikdash, it can't be that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a mitzvah and he didn't make it something which is possible for each and every one of us every single day of our lives to be able to be mekayim, to observe. So the same way that we can observe Shabbos, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the mitzvah of Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. And Ahavtas Hashem is not a mitzvah that depends upon there being a Beis HaMikdash or being Mashiach. It's a mitzvah that's the tachlis of our lives, as we're going to learn. Last summer we spent a great deal of time on the first section of the Sefer, on Emunah, on Tefillah, on Tshuva. And we're going to begin with Ahavtas Hashem. But since I knew that many of you would not have the Sefer right away, or you wouldn't have it here, the Shnitolas, those of you who have it last year, try to remember to bring it next week. So these few pages are from the new edition of the Shnitolas, which is now called Bilvavi Chelukei, a few pages by way of introduction. So this way we could all do that together. I don't know if we're going to get to the Sefer tonight. We might get to the Sefer tonight, but you'll have that for sure. We'll get to it, Mitzvah Hashem, next week. So we could read together just from Ois Beis, from the section of Ahavas Hashem, Ois Beis. Again, it's not printed in the old edition. The old edition is only from last year, but it's not printed in there. This is a very, very important hakdama bechlal, an introduction for all of us. Baruch Hashem, I know that those who are here are probably regular shiurim goers. There are some people who try to go to shiur whenever they can. For women, especially when the children are young, it's very, very, very difficult. But I know that those of you who persevere and try to go to shiurim during the year, this introduction is something to help all of us to have a certain way of thinking, a certain mindset, bechlal, when we come together to learn Torah. He's going to explain and talk about that mindset that we need to develop when Jews come together to learn. He's going to then speak about the importance, not just the importance, but the urgency of friendship, of yedidus, between one person and another. And then from there, he's going to speak about how to develop a friendship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how to develop a relationship with Hashem Yisbarach to feel that he's mamish, your dearest friend. And from there, to take each and every one of us, to help each and every one of us, of course, each one according to his or her own level, to be able to come in, to enter into the world of Ahavas Hashem, that we should be able to fulfill this mitzvah, which is the yisayid and the tachlis of all of the Torah, which is to love Hashem as Baruch. So if you look in Oz Beis, this is a very important introduction. Sarach Leida. Again, I just want to remind you, those who have been coming over the years, you know that this is not, the point of the shiur is not to come up with some new concepts, some new ideas, and to give you chomer material to have some different Torah for Shabbos or for the next Shabbat brachos or something. It's not like that at all. It's to learn together the writings of a tzaddik on a very simple level. It's for the purpose of practically improving our avodas Hashem, not having beautiful ideas, beautiful hashkafas. That's all very, very important. It's very nice. And by the way, my wife will be giving a shiur like that for sure tomorrow, Wednesday night. No, you're not giving a shiur? Wednesday night at 9:00. But here, very, very pashtus, very simple, a pashtus, just how to improve in the basic points of our avodas Hashem. Tzarech leida b'chol kibbutz sheyesh. What we have to know, whenever there's a kibbutz, now we know the word kibbutz. Kibbutz means, of course, when Jews gather together, a kibbutz. B'chol kibbutz sheyesh l'shema nasa hakibbutz. You always have to think and to ask yourself, what is the tachlis, what's the purpose of this kibbutz, of Jews getting together in this particular situation? Ma hamakuvan v'hatachlis shel hakibbutz. It sounds like it's a very simple question. What is the kavana, what is the intent, and what is the tachlis, what is the objective of our gathering together at this particular kibbutz, whatever that kibbutz is? Kishayesh v'm tzibur. When there's a tzibur, when there's a group of Jews that are sitting together. It's impossible to say words that are completely, completely appropriate and are specifically geared towards each person that's sitting in the tzibur. And anybody who's ever taught in a classroom, which is a tzibur, or anybody who's ever spoken publicly, knows that you can speak to a room of 20, 30, 40, 50 people, and they're on 20, 30, 40, 50 different levels. Each person is coming with his or her own peckle, his or her own past, his or her own level of understanding, expectations. It always fascinates me how I'll have people after a shiur that I will give, let's say there'll be 100 people, there'll be 200 people, as many people as I hear from and as many people as I discuss the shiur with afterwards, there was a completely different musag, a different understanding of the shiur that I was giving. Usually it's not what I understood that I was saying, but that's not right or wrong. It's a question of what each person is masig, what each person comprehends according to his or her own level and his or her own background and expectations. So of course that creates a tremendous problem for any person who's teaching a group of Jews or anybody who's speaking to a larger group of Jews. Now I find myself oftentimes speaking to people who I don't even see. The shiurim that I give in shul, there's a phone system, and I'll meet somebody out of town, or I'll meet somebody at Israel. They'll ask me a question about the shiur that they heard on the telephone, 3 weeks ago. I don't know who this person is. I don't know. One of those gratifying things, someone just told me last week that there's a Jew in, I forgot where it is, in Houston or in Atlanta, I don't remember which town, that became Shomer Shabbos listening to the shiur. I never met the person, and I asked to get the person's phone number that I call up and talk to, in a normal living way. But someone's listening to shiur on a telephone that I never met. How do you talk to a tzibur, or how do you listen as part of a tzibur, when each person is so completely different from the other person? So he says, everybody's in a different madrega. It's not just intellectually, emotionally, in every respect, each person's in a different madrega. We feel this, even parents feel this, because if you're zeichet to have a family, that's also a little tzibur, that's also a little community, and each of the children is also each of the children is an underdeveloped, is a different world. But at least there, you figure you get another chance, three chances, a few chances, and you feel somewhat comfortable, and you get used to focusing on that particular member of of your family, of that tzibur. But every person is different. Really, you would have to speak. It would seem that the way to teach and the way to convey Avodas Hashem would be by speaking to each person privately according to his or her own level. Therefore, if one is truly trying to speak words of seichel, of intelligence, of havana, that can be understood and that are true, really, the whole idea of having a kibbutz, of gathering together to learn Torah, the whole idea is almost ludicrous. Since each person is so different, we would really have to speak to each of those people to find out. When someone comes to talk to me, I ask, who are you? Where do you come from? Where do you go to school? What kind of family do you come from? You know, where are you? Who are you? So when you're talking to a tzibur of people, really it seems very, very far from the imagination that you'd be able to reach each person. How could you say one thing that people are so different? Each person needs to hear something else. And even if you're saying the same thing, you would say that each person needs to hear it. That, even if it's that message, they need to hear it with their own mashal, with a mashal that makes sense to that person. Whenever I'm talking, when I'm speaking to men, I don't use the same mashalim as when I'm speaking to women. With women, I have to use a certain mashal, that the women feel closer to a certain inyan in their lives. Women feel closer to certain inyanim in the family, in the store, whatever it is. But women feel closer to a certain inyan. Men feel closer to this other kind of an inyan. That even the mashalim are totally different, that used for a man and for a woman. So how could you say one thing for everybody? And each person is an individual and needs a certain knach to get through to that person. But yet, we know that it's the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wants us to get to come together, to gather Jews as a kibbutz, to come together and to learn Torah together. And adrabah, we know that that's the most powerful way that the Torah is given over. And the Rebbeinu Shlom gave over the Torah at Har Sinai. He didn't give it over individually to each person. He gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael as a people. And that somehow, even though it was given to a great multitude of people, each person was able to hear, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God. Doesn't say Elokechem, the God of the Jews. Elokecha, I'm your Rebbeinu Shlom. That means that the Rebbeinu Shlom was teaching us already by Maimon HaSinai that he wants the Torah to be given. Of course, you give it privately also, but he wants it to be given, and there's something special, as we'll see in a moment, about giving Torah over at a maimid, with Jews coming together. There's something unique and powerful and special. And yet he wants each person to be able to receive that Torah according to his or her own level. And how is that accomplished? Ulam Bamis, the second paragraph, Hamatorah shel kibbutz amiti shel lachlutin. We have to understand, how does a tzibur of Jews work? And for any shul to be successful, for any yeshiva to be successful, or for any other gathering, community to work, it requires what the tzaddik is going to explain to us right now. He says the truth is that the matara, the objective of any gathering, of any kibbutz, of any true kibbutz of Jews, is different than what we think. Hamatari lekabetz yachad esat shukais haamitim shelibais Yisrael. The true goal of a gathering of Jews, of a kibbutz, is to somehow bring together in one room, in one place, the tshukis, the true longings, the true hopes and longings of each of the individuals who have come to that particular kibbutz, the true longing shall libais Yisrael in the hearts of Jews, lekabetz mikol leiv v'leiv, to gather from each of the hearts. It's as if each one of us comes to that kibbutz, and the same way you'd be going to play a game of dreidel, you put in your 5 cents into the pot. So lahavdil, of course, on a much higher level, each person, what can make the shiur work, what can make the shul work, what can make the yeshiva, the community work, is when each of those people come, each individual comes, and is prepared to put his personal tshuka to be a better Jew, his true, honest longing to become closer to Hashem Yisbarach, to put that into the communal pot, into the pot. He explains. The kabbetz mikol leiv leiv is atshuka ha'amitis liskarev labari. Each and every Jew has inside of him, especially if it's a person who's coming to a shia. Why would a person go to learn Torah? Nobody would say, I just want to become smarter. That's a nice thing, you want to hear good ideas. A person goes to learn Torah, it's because you want to get closer to the Rebbeinu Shlom. And the Rebbeinu Shlom gave you a way to get closer to him. And each and every person here knows that if you don't learn Torah, you go further away from him. Everybody knows that. And everybody realizes the importance of learning. And how when you come someplace to learn, even by the schlepping to get there, you're already getting closer to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Even if you don't understand what's being said at this shiur, the fact that each person comes with his or her tshuka, with a longing to become closer to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Rabbi Nosson Breslover explains in one of the earliest Torahs, in the earliest Torah in Likutei Halachos, he's talking about the teaching of his great Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman Zchus Hagelin, who said, that how did they build the Mishkan? How did they build that amazing place in the desert? And how did Jews build the Beis HaMikdash as a community? How do we build the Beis HaMikdash? So if you think that it's just a matter of gathering gold and silver and copper and the other ingredients that are necessary in making such a building, so Rabbi Nosson explains it's not true. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu the Tzaddik is able to see the gold in this Jew, the silver in this Jew, the copper in this Jew. Every Jew has in him certain points of greatness, Nekudais HaKesef, certain points that are silver. There are Jews who have them this color. Jews are very colorful, right? So we need many colors and dyes for the curtains and the partitions of the Mishkan. The Tzaddik, the greatness of the Tzaddik, and any of you who ever had a great teacher knows that the greatness of a Tzaddik and the greatness of a great teacher is to be able to focus on who is this person in front of me, and to be able to bring out from that person that color, that ingredient that is the essence of that person. The Mishkan, Rabbi Nosson explains, was built by the Tzaddik gathering together from the community, in the community path, the Kesef, the Zav, the Nechayshas, and all the different points of chen, of greatness, that make up the Jewish people. And each person comes with a tshuka, with his own rotzen, with his own desire to be a better Jew, to improve, to become better, not just to hear. And women in particular are sensitive to this, because men, because of the experience of yeshiva, men will often come just with the interest of becoming sharper or smarter, without necessarily connecting that to becoming a better person or a better Jew. The women that I've met over the years, especially the ones who are going to shiurim, the main objective, I believe, of every woman that goes to a shiur is, how can I improve? How can I improve as a Jew? How can I improve as a wife? How can I improve as a mother? How can I be a better daughter-in-law? How can I be a better mother-in-law? That's one of the later tzaynis. But still, I have found over the years that it's a very, very interesting thing how men will usually come to get smarter and women will come to get better. They'll come to become better people and better Jews. But men, the emes also deep inside, what does it mean they want to know more? That's also because they have a rotzen to be a better Jew. It's just there's a lot of stuff that they picked up over the years that make it very uncomfortable to admit that they really want to become better. But they do. But with women, it's very clear and very open that I want to become better. And that's why I'm here. And when you walk away from a shiur, if you heard just a nice idea, but you can't figure out a way to apply that idea to your life to help make you a better person, a better Jew, so you're disappointed. Men are not disappointed like that. If they heard a gewalde gewart, it doesn't make a difference if it's nagia to them at all. It doesn't make a difference. Men could often spend the entire davening talking about how the Rav made a terrific point about how you're not allowed to talk in davening. Right? So that's not nageya one to the other. But with women, it's very rarely like that. There are women that don't go to shiur. That's a certain inyan. I'm not the ones that can't go. The ones that can go but don't go, that's a certain thing. But the ones that go to a shiur, they're coming to the kibbutz to be strengthened, to become better. So how does that happen? Is it by hearing something? Each person needs to hear his own thing. So the tzaddik explains. The beginning of the change that can happen when you come together to learn Torah is the readiness, the willingness, the openness of each person to come with a feeling of a tshuka, a desire to become a better Jew, with a desire to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, when that happens, then it's possible that Kabbis Mekalev Lev is a tshuka amitis, the second paragraph, that we gather together. The kibbutz means the gathering together of those individual tshukas, of the individual feelings of longing to become better, that are in the heart of each Jew, that all of us want to give nachas ruach to Hashem. There isn't a person who's sitting here, or in any kibbutz of Jews that are coming to learn, there isn't any one of us that doesn't want to give greater nachas to Hashem. We all want to give nachas to Hashem. We all want that when it comes to 120 and we say Aleshma Yisrael, that the Baruch Hu should be proud of us and that we should have lived a life that gave him Nachas Ruach. The Kibbutz Zeshel Kulam Yachad, when the Jews come together, it's so powerful. Kol Echad in Nekudas HaEmes Shebelibay. Each person comes with a Nekuda of Emes in his heart. He walks into the room with that Nekuda inside of him of wanting. Yaviru yachdav. Together they can ignite a flame. Lahava. Each one is like a spark, and when those sparks come together, it can create a fire, mamish a fire. Shetitan to elus the kol miskapsim, that will benefit in a very real and positive way, even if you didn't understand everything in the shiur. But by those little sparks, or those little pintalach coming together, the little sparks coming together, just by gathering together, by coming together, there can be a fire, so that each person can walk away with some hischaskus, with something better. Therefore, whenever Jews gather together, we all have to come. Each person, as he said, comes with his own individual, particular level of wanting to become better. But there's one thing that we all have to share and we all have to concentrate on, and you can think about this every time Mitzvah, whenever you walk into a shir for the rest of your lives, to think about this. Any time you ever go to any shir, or any time you're sitting and the Rav where you are is about to give a drosha on a Shabbos, a Yom Tov, whatever it is, to have this in mind. That there must be something that joins us together, and that is Kavana Lechapei Sesa Emes. When you sit down in a shir, or when there's a drasha, you have to, for a second, or for more than a second, stop and think and have this in mind. Rabbeinu Shlalom, help me to find the truth. Help me to, in what I'm about to hear, in what I'm about to learn, help me hear in that, in those words, what I need and what I can hear at this time in my life to find the truth of you, to find the truth of being a better Jew. L'chapis is emes. Kavon l'chapis is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to find the Rabbeinu Shalom, to truly find him. V'ayidezeh kol echem mekabel is koiches kulam. And now, what happens is an amazing thing. Everything he's saying here, by the way, is not his own. It's in the Zohar, from the writings of the Ari, it's in the Svarim HaKadoshim. When you do that, that means that every single person that's sitting there, or whoever has this in mind, is joining together in a very, very powerful way with each of the other people who's sitting in the room. That kavana that they share in common, this one kavana, even though they're all from different levels, and they come from different homes and backgrounds, this one will understand more, this one understands less, but one thing they share in common is this one unifying, binding kavana, l'chapes es ha'emes. L'chapes es ha'emes. To find the truth, to find Hashem's bar. The yachtav evsher lahagil emes, and where Jews can reach together, despite all of their differences, but what they can accomplish as a group together with that kavana, with those little sparks that become a fire, what they can accomplish is gevaldig, is beyond anything that they could accomplish individually. Therefore, the way for each person who comes to hear the words of Hashem, who comes to learn Torah in a group, the kavanah, the intention that he should have when he comes together with that tzibur, with that group, is what? It's nitzach sheyachin atzma sheyasa zayis l'shem shamayim. I'm coming here l'shem shamayim. I'm coming here for the purpose, I'm coming here l'shem shamayim. I want to get closer to Hashem. I want to find the truth. I want to find the truth. I remember that years ago there was somebody that hadn't come to, I never saw this year, not over here, someplace, I was giving a shiur, and I commented, it's wonderful to see you, Baruch Hashem here. So she said that, I was thinking that, you know, my children are already getting old enough for Shidduchim. I thought it would look nice if I start coming to Shia. She said it sort of like jokingly, because she had never been to a Shia in the past, but she thought that it would be wise to be seen. To be seen in public as somebody that is serious about Yiddishkeit, and I guess one of the signs of that is that you're somebody that comes to Shiur. So it was said a little bit as a joke, but that Ratzon itself is an indication that in order for a person in the eyes of other Jews to be somebody who's important, you have to be someone that wants to learn Torah, that you want to grow. That's also a nekudah of truth, that you're coming for that. But certainly that's not the highest level of what Kavani should have. The kavani should have that you're coming l'shem shemayim, whatever the subject of the shiur is. I'm coming l'shem shemayim, l'chapes es ha'emes, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to search for the truth for Hashem. And through that, yizke l'agi l'sham yoyseh zach. Then when you begin to hear the shiur, you'll already be more purified, more refined. You'll already be on a higher level. You're already going to start to receive from the other people in the room who have similar thoughts and feelings. Yoyseh Naki, you're already cleaner. You're already more pure. Ukechol Shairatz Yoyseh Zach V'Naki, and to the degree that you're able to strengthen this thought, this machshava of emes, of searching, of trying to find Hashem, of having a tshuka for Hashem, Kain Yizkel Ahaskel Lahavin is Darko. So Hashem will reveal to you, in the words of whoever is teaching you, whatever man or woman, whatever Rav or Rebbetzin, whatever friend is giving a shiur, whatever teacher you're hearing from, you'll be zeichet to hear, Hashem will help you to hear what you want to hear. What you need to hear, not what you want to hear, but you need to hear. One of those gratifying things that any teacher can ever hear from a student, and one of the things that gives me the biggest nachas, is when someone will come over and say, Rebbe, Rabbi, you know what you said? It was mamish what I needed to hear. That today I was going through something this past week, and what you spoke about was mamish what I needed to hear. And I always say the same thing. It has nothing to do with what I was saying. It has very little to do with what I was saying. There's a siyata d'shmaya that a person has, that when you go with the kavana, with the intention and the hope and the tefillah, Rabbi Shalom, help me, tell me good words, let me hear words that will help me in my inyan that I'm going through. And he'll talk about tefillah in a minute. Help me, then the Rabbi Shalom could take even the least inspired speaker and the least inspired Dvar Torah, but you will walk away feeling that you heard something. You heard something that could help you. You heard something that will make you better. Because if you came with that kavanah, and there are other people there that have that kavanah as well, and that are chalishing for a word of the Rabbi Shalom to hear something, a little chaskas, or something to help them, a little bit of insight, you'll be zeichet to hear it. Even if the person is not such a gevaldige teacher, not such a gevaldige speaker, but you'll be zeichet to hear it, if you have that ratzon, because that's what Hashem's Baruch does for you. And that's how Torah works. There's nothing in the world that is like that. Nothing in the world that is like that. Only Torah. Last line, and to the extent that you have this pure feeling and desire, you'll understand from that shiur, from that shmuz, from that drasha, you'll understand more about how to get closer to Hashem. The next page. Let me explain this a little bit more. The neshama of a Jew is a chelik eloka, it's godly. It's not of this world. The neshama you and I have inside of us, something that's not from this world, that's not a part of this world, that's not dragged down into all the narishkeit, into the darkness and the ugliness and filth of this world. No matter what any of us have ever done in our lives, we have in us a neshama lukis. where Ritzayin Elas is Ritzayin Kaina. And all this neshama wants in its time in this world, all the neshama wants is to help each and every one of us do the Ratzon of the one who created us. Ritzayin Elas is Ritzayincha. Like the Gemara says, that the Jewish people are saying, all the time we're saying to Hashem, Ritzayin Elas is Ritzayincha, Rabbi Shalom, our deepest desire is to do your Ratzon, is to do what you desire. But there's a problem. There's chametz inside. There's chametz, this stuff. This sa'or shebi'isa means the part of us that, like the dough that rises, that this sa'or shebi'isa, it's chametz. The part of me, that part of me that's ego, that part of me that's always worried about what makes me feel good, what makes me look good, what I think is right, that's called the sa'or shebi'isa, the chametz. So we're saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, Ritzenein Lassus Ritzoincha, I know and I believe, and this is the biggest thing for a Jew to know and to believe, that deep inside of me, there's a tshuka, there's a longing to find you, and there's a longing to connect you, and that's really, really all that I want. And you see this all the time with Eden, you see this all the time, that when everything else in their life falls away, and when everything else breaks down, like the Kotsky used to say that, when you take off all the peels of the onion, you're only left with a tear. And it means that when you take off all the peels of a Jew, you're left with that dimmer, with that tear of who the person be'emes really, really is. We were just talking the other day, and all of us have seen this, that you'll find when there's an older person who Nebuch has lost already his or her entire memory, and can't remember even a husband, a wife, or a child. Someone was just telling us, we were just talking how whenever he sees somebody walking in nice clothing, he says, no, it's Shabbos, he didn't tell me it's Shabbos. Doesn't know who his wife is, doesn't know who his children are, can't remember anything, but knows Shabbos. Knows that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom, and remembers his Yiddishkeit when everything falls apart. Because the deepest nekuda of a Jew is his neshama. And the neshama is a lakus, is God. And therefore, when everything else disappears, you're left with only the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, it's chaval, you have to wait for a time when you forget everything else to remember Hashem is Baruch. Our tachas in life is to connect to that part of ourselves while we, thank God, have our ability to recognize and to remember. But that's what it means. We really want to do what you want us to do. But what are we going to do? We have this chametz inside. The social piece is market. Each and every one of us wants to give nachas ruach to Hashem. The chametz, the yeast. The external ego, the ani, the I. It like has a life of its own. I know inside of me I want to be a better Jew. I know inside of me I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to say this Lashon Hara. I don't want to do this Aveir anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to be a different person. I don't want to be this kind of a person. But I don't know what to do. Because there's this thing inside of me that has like a life of its own. This chametz that's out of control. That just rises and takes me away from who I am. Therefore, the most important thing, especially when you're coming to learn Torah, is to ask Hashem Yisbaruch to help each and every one of us. We ask Hashem that we should be able to be real. Take away from me, Hashem, help me to get past all the chametz and to listen from that part of me, in that part of me that's really who I am. Not the whole thing to be defensive and so on. All these things that people say so many times after they'll hear Torah. I was speaking someplace out of town. My wife and I went someplace recently, and I spent the whole Shabbos screaming and yelling and pounding away, you know, mamish, screaming and yelling. And it's a very affluent, beautiful community. Very, very nice people, and they're very nice to us. Very, very nice to us. So, in one of the talks that I gave Shabbos afternoon, it was a big olam in this shul. In one of the talks that I gave, I mentioned how I, and you've heard this from me also, maybe not here, but in shul, back at home, I talk about this a lot, how I personally have a strong distaste for the latest trend in certain circles of Orthodox Jews to change Shabbos and stop calling it Shabbat. I don't like that. I don't like that Shabbos became Shabbat, and I don't like that Sukkot became Sukkot. it was fine for my parents, now my grandparents, and it was part of being a Haimish Yid that we grew up a certain way, and it meant a certain thing to us. Shabbos is Shabbos, not Shabbat, and we don't have to make it into Sukkot, and this whole thing, this whole funny, artificial way of talking, not for Sfaradim. Sfaradim, that's their Sfaradim. Sfaradim talk that way, isn't it? Huh? Sfaradim, if a Sfaradi says Shabbos, I tell him, oh, no, you have to say Shabbat. Sfaradim. What? So in Israelis, that's how they were raised. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about Chutzlaris Ashkenazic Jews. Our way of saying Shabbos is Shabbos and not Shabbat. And this top of the, there's a story that I don't know if I ever told. It's not a story. So my, you know, the one time you heard of David Ben Gurion, right?
Yeah.
See, he wasn't a firm Jew. You know that. He was very far from being a firm Jew, and he wasn't Stam. He knew Torah. He knew a little Tanakh, and he was raised in a religious home. He didn't like it. He didn't like Frumkeit. And he had a good friend of his, you might have heard of too, Eliezer Ben Yehuda. You remember, you heard of Ben Yehuda? He's the one that put together the first Hebrew dictionary, right? Ben Yehuda hated Frumkeit. Ben Gurion didn't like it. Ben Yehuda hated it. So one time, it was a Chamsin. You know what I mean, it's a Chamsin? It was an unbelievable heat. And they were walking together in Tel Aviv, Ben Gurion and Ben Yehuda. And they're talking politics. Ben Gurion was Biknak, and Ben Yehuda was also Biknak. So Ben Gurion starts talking Yiddish. So Ben Yehuda is very upset about that. He's the father of modern Hebrew, right? So Ben Yehuda says, Kvod Adoni, Echa Tam Daber B'Lashon HaZeh. How do you speak in a disgusting language, you know, in Yiddish? So Ben Gurion says, Yudel, says, Tut Mera Teva, it's too hard, it's the Kenish. You know, do me a favor, I'm too hard, I can't talk in Hebrew. Can we just talk Yiddish? He said, I'm too hot. I've been trying for the last 20 years like to talk Hebrew, and we're putting on a good show, but I'm too hot. Can we just talk Mamalosh and talk Yiddish? But it's such a gewaltig story. He said, Chkenish, I'm too hot. So I said this to the Oilam. I was talking about, I mentioned it 30 seconds in the talk. Okay. 3 weeks later, I met somebody from that city that came to the shul and said, oh, you wouldn't believe what you caused the tumult in the city. All the shuls, all they're talking about, has you came out strong against Shabbat, against the pronunciation that the modern, you know, Orthodox are using. You came out against modern Orthodox. I said, that was like the whole, I spoke the whole Shabbos about the Baruch Shalom, believe me. And all I was talking about was Ahavas Yisrael and how much I love you and how much the Baruch Shalom loves you. That's all I was talking about. And the city is tumulting 3 weeks later. The Weinberger came, and did you hear what he said? He's anti-Shabbat. He's anti-Sukkot. That was the whole Musa Haske. So you know, you have to be so careful. When you come to learn Torah, you have to ask the Baruch Shalom, open my heart, that I should be zeichet to hear the emes be'emes, the pnimius of what this Yid is saying. And to hear the pnimius of your Torah, to hear the truth of your Torah, and not to chas v'shalom get caught up. Why are these people getting so upset? None of the people that were at the shiur, from what I understand, they didn't get upset. It's the people were tumulting in other shuls that they heard that I said this about Shabbat. The people that were at the shiur, they were listening to what I was talking about. Other people heard that. Oh yeah, he said about Shabbat. So there's this inyan also when you hear a shiur. If someone says something that you don't like, right? Or if somebody says something that's against what you're used to, so you could say, oh, what's he talking about? I don't like that. And I don't like, what do you mean don't like that? You know, you have to think about it. It could be you disagree. You could talk about it. But there's so much ego that plays into when people, even when they go to learn Torah. So the beginning of learning Torah is when you go to a shiur and there's a kibbutz of Jews together. The first thing is to try to let go of the ani, me. And to say, Baruch Shalom, I'm yours. I belong to you. Whatever I am, whatever I've ever thought of in the past, whatever I'm so certain is the truth, I give up. I only want to find the truth. Help me to hear it in the words that I'm about to hear. Help me to hear the truth. Finish. It's not me. It's not what I want to hear, what I like to hear, what makes me feel good. You have to say a shiur, I have to make you feel good in the shiur. That's the tachlis of the shiur. How do you make the people feel good? That's the tachlis of the shiur. Or is the tachlis of the shiur, how do we together find the Baruch Shalom? What can we do together to find the Baruch Shalom? So he says that therefore, you have to try very hard, l'salik l'nach, to try to push away the returns chitzayim, these external things of the ego. L'ayiris nekuda sa'emes, the first paragraph, the fourth line, and to awaken that nekuda of truth, of honesty. as with Sanin Las Visancha, the desire to do Hashem's will. When each and every person tries to prepare for Shia this way, to hear L'shem Shamayim for the sake of Hashem's Baruch, then Miskabsin Yahad Kol Aritzani Shakulam, then it's an unbelievable energy that's in that room. You know, I'll tell you an example. Let's say, God forbid, lo aleinu, there's some sort of an inyan in a community where there's a tzara, right? God forbid. There's a tzara that's hanging over the community. And there's a shia, where everybody's coming together to hear a shia to try to be mezaka that person, let's say, with a refuah, right? When everybody sits down, they have one kavana. Even people are normally not like such big shia goes, but have one kavana, which is what? Rabbi Shalom, the schus of these words, help that little girl, that little boy get better, right? Everybody has the same kavana. There's nobody that doesn't have such a kavana, that it should take a work, and should be a schus for that person. You know how much energy there is in that room? You feel it. You know how much kaychus there are in the shia? Even the person says a simple thing, there's so much kaychus, you know why? Because each shuka of each individual Jew, that kid should have a refuah, or that individual should get better, whatever the tzar is, should end. All of those shukas gather together and make a fire, mamash a fire. And it creates such a tremendous, tremendous kayach in the Shia. That's why it's a very big difference if you're speaking to a group of three Jews or you're speaking to a group of 300 Jews. Why should there be any difference? I remember by Rav Moshe Feinstein's Levaya, I don't remember which one of my speedim said it could be that it was his son-in-law or one of his sons. I don't remember who said, but he said it by, he said that the whole world has spoke about my father-in-law, Rav Moshe. How many people do you think would come on a daily basis to Rav Moshe's Shia when he gave his Gemara Shia? Eight. That's how many came to Rav Moshe's Shia. Seven, eight people. There was a great Rosh Yeshiva in Tarvadas. You might have heard of Rav Shlomo Hyman. You heard of Rav Shlomo Hyman? So there's a story about how there was a tremendous blizzard, and only one bacher came to the shia. I guess that's when Tarvadas was still in Williamsburg, and a lot of the boys they were walking. I don't know what it was, but only one bacher came. They didn't have a dormitory. One bacher came to the shia, and Rav Shlomo Hyman got up, and he gave the shia, screaming and yelling and going back and forth, and the whole, you know, it was a whole 2.5 hours shia. Finished that because one bacher was there, you know, the shia. So there was a talk afterwards about how the Rosh Hashiva gave such a shia. So Shiva says, what's the nafki minute? There's one Jew, there's 50 Jews, there's 100 Jews. I have to say the shia. That's an unbelievable madrega. That story is an unbelievable story. Anybody that teaches knows that there's a different feeling that you have. You try, every teacher works on it. But it's a different feeling if you have a room that's packed. We always have these logistic discussions in the shul when there's going to be a shia, someone's coming to give a shia, we have a guest speaker, should it be upstairs or downstairs? What's this shaila? If it's in the big shul, now we have Baruch Hashem, a very big, beautiful shul, but only 50 people are going to come, then it's going to feel not so nice. If it's in a little bit medrash, then it's going to feel, or maybe it should be in the house. If it's in someone's house, then you have in the living room, be mamish gevaldig, right? It's the same 30 people, why are we slapping in 3 different places? So 30 people, whether they sit in this room, or they sit in that room, then the chiluk is that when there's a kibbutz of Jews who are together in one place, it creates a certain closeness, and that closeness lights one spark to the next spark, and it can make a different kind of a fire. Everybody feels that. It's a very big thing. And then each person can be makabel from the other person. That's what he explains. There's a special siyata of the Shmaya that when each person prepares for the Shia in that way, with the right intention to find the Rebbeinu Shlom, to get closer to Hashem, to be better, there's a special siyata of the Shmaya, help from Hashem to come to the truth. But if you come in and you don't have these thoughts, it's tam. And it's a mixture of Tayyiv and Ra while you're there. L'shem Shemaim, Yachidim Shaloi L'shem Shemaim, that you have a little bit of L'shem Shemaim, which you're not thinking about so much, and some other part of that's not L'shem Shemaim, which is what? Well, if you have nothing to do, or you want people to see you, or you wanted to see your friends, or whatever. Ain ef shos the kabel shefa tar, then it's very, very hard to receive the shefa, a pure shefa, a pure bracha in that kibbutz. Ke shefa bo l'fi hakli, because the shefa is according to the Kli. That teacher, that Rebbe, that Rebbetzin can pour a lot into the Shia. But if there's no Kalim, if there's no Kli to receive it, and it just spills on the floor. It doesn't go anywhere. The cave and shakli muruv tayvira. So if the shear, if the Torah is being poured into kalim that are not good kalim, they have mixed in it, you know, there's schmutz, there's filth in the keli, whatever it is, so then it doesn't come out in a good way. Then the Torah doesn't find itself in a good way. The shefa comes in a way that's tayv and ra, and therefore you could also, the same way there can be a good influence one from the other sitting in a group together. If there are people that are coming to the shir or coming to a shul and they don't have the right intentions being in shul, and not just going to a shir, to daven also, and they don't come with the right intentions and they have wrong thoughts, it has hashpah on everybody else in the shul. When you're sitting in shul and you don't have the right thoughts, it's mashpah on everybody else in the shul. When you come to a shir and you're not l'shem shemayim, it has hashpah on everybody in the shir. Or it could have a negative hashpah, if God forbid, or it could prevent the hashpah, which is the lashon of shefa, from finding its place in the proper way. Because each person in that place, this hashgacha pratis, why you had to be in that place at that time. And you have to help every Jew with yourself to receive this shefa that's coming from Hashem. That Hashem wants this group to hear at that moment. Another important point. Every Jew is unique. Every person is yichid b'nafsho, is different. Ruvain yichid b'nekudazu. Ruvain is unique and special in this way. And Shimon b'nekudazu. And Shimon is unique and special in this way. Each person is mamish an olam ifnei atzmo, is a special, unique world. Kasha adam poel levad, kol echad yesh lo rak es hakoach shel atzmo. But if you take your own individual kaiches, your own individual talents and seichel, and you try to accomplish something by yourself, even though you're very talented and very strong, you're limited in what you can accomplish. Because all you're using then are your own kaiches. As a kayach hayichud shelo, which is good because it's your own unique kayach that you have. Ulam kasha adam etzarif atzmo mezulas. However, when you join together with somebody else, mekabetz es kayaches nafsho imazulas. That person has unique kayaches, and you have your own kayaches. And instead of being envious or jealous of what he could do or what she could do, but you use your kayaches and you try to love, to respect, to work together with that person with his or her kaiches, then kolech is mashpia lechaveirav as a kaiach hayichudi shaloi. Then you are able to be mashpia from your kaiach to help that person with your kaiach, even if you don't talk to him. You're working together on a project. You're working together on a certain inyan, but by being together, you're able to be mashpia from your kaiach that you have, which he doesn't have. You can be mashpia from your kaiach to help that person, to lift that person up, and you receive from him a makablam dain mi dain. Each receives from the other, even without speaking the word. Each receives from the other's kaiches, from what's unique about that person. The Chabad Chaim used to say keseder, and especially when he was very old. I was reading in a sefer recently, if somebody came to Chabad Chaim, if somebody had a kasha, actually it wasn't somebody, it says that Rav Hutton Zechatzai Levrocha had a kasha on something the Chabad Chaim wrote in the Mishnah Berurah. And he went to ask Reb Chaim Eisen, this Mishnah Berurah. So Chaim Eisen was a genius, and he asked this question. Reb Chaim Eisen said, "Look, it's a good kasha, but Baruch Hashem, the Chabad Chaim's alive. Go to Radin and ask the Chabad Chaim." So Hutner went to Radin to ask the Chabad Chaim, and when he came in, the Chabad Chaim said something like, "No, that's what I wrote, and that's what I meant," something like that. And that's what the halach is. And then the Chabad Chaim said, the Ikkah is, and he said this over and over, is that each person should come with his own kaiches. And the Rosh Hashiva and the Rebbeim should not try to produce somebody according to the Rebbe or the Rosh Hashiva's kaiches, but that each bacher has his own unique personality. And the job of a Rosh Hashiva Rebbe is to find and to bring out the kaiches of each bacher in the yeshiva. And what's a yeshiva? The yeshiva, he says, the sum total of the great points, of the great kaiches of each of the individuals. That's what makes the yeshiva a special place. Not to have a place where everybody's the same, to have a place where nobody's the same, where no one's the same. But to gather them together in that yeshiva and to bring out, and each one is makabel dein midein, and probably the Chabad Chaim Soldier Zohar Kodesh, the Rav Huttner, is going to be one of the big Rosh Yeshivas in America, and he was going to survive and come to America, he'll come before the war and come to America and build yeshivas in America, build the world of Torah, and that he needed to hear this, that you have to make a person that's himself, and that each one's makabel dein midein, which the great people like the Alter from Slobodka, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Moshe, they understood this in a very deep way, and therefore they were able to accept and to love each Bacher for who he was, not to reproduce or to clone Bachram according to who the Rebbe is, the Rosh Hashiva. They had an appreciation and a love for the different nuances of each Bacher, of each Talmud. And how do we bring together a kibbutz that each one should want to become better, L'Shem Shemayim? And in doing so, each one can give the other from his koiches, and that's how you create a great yeshiva. That's how you make a makom Torah. That's how you build a shul. That's how you build a family also. That's how you do it. Ulam kasher adam etzayr v'atzma mazulas makabes koiches nafsham mazulas kol echem mashpil chaver bezakayach yichudish lebekach kol yochi biyochi yochi kabes koiches kulam v'lav neskul makadosh baruch hu. And now you have this powerful fire of you begin to have karchas that you never had before. Where do these karchas come from? From this person, from that person, from the other person. That's part of your chever. You have karchas that you receive that you never had on your own, these karchas, because all you have are your own karchas. But now I'm borrowing karchas from other Jews. They're mashpia on me, they're karchas. And you're mashpia from you on them. Ulam b'shvil she'yachibu amiti. But in order for this to work, he comes back and repeats the site. In order for this to work, you have to come l'shem shemayim. You have to want the truth. You have to want the Rabbanu Shalom. You have to be there for the right reason, l'shem shemayim. Otherwise, one can't join with the other. Wherever there's an ego, wherever it's not l'shem shemayim, then you're a lonely, separate fragment of this world. You can't join with other people if your ego's in the way. The ego always separates. The ego always builds walls. The ego always says, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's not you. And therefore you can't be makabel from another person. You can't be makabel. You can hear 1,000 shirim and it won't change in the least bit. You can be part of 1,000 different inyanim and projects and you're not changed at all. It doesn't change you because you're not open to anybody else. You don't give, you don't take. You're just yourself. And because you're not coming l'shem shemayim, and you don't come with the right reason, l'chapes es ha'emes, l'chapes es ha'kadosh baruch hu. So then you become separated. And it's terrible, it's lonely. And he speaks about loneliness, I'm not going to get to it right now. He says, ki in yesh kavanah shalei l'shem shemachashem harei zeh mu'ur v'tayverah. Tayverah, that when you have a kavanah that's not l'shem shemayim, then it's a mixture of good and evil. Then it's me, a little bit of me, a little bit of Hashem. V'ra ein l'chibur, aklal. There's a rule that ra, evil, wickedness, ra, self-centeredness, selfishness, doesn't connect to anything else. It has no chibur. You can't connect like that. The Nargan Mafrid Olafit says in Pasuk, it cuts and separates. Evil wickedness is Mafrid Olaf. It breaks apart all those that are together. Kesher Rishoyim and a Kesher. The Kesher of Rishoyim, the Kesher that holds Rishoyim together, ain't a Kesher. It's not a Kesher. It's not a real Kesher between Rishoyim. It's convenience. It's convenience. They have something in common. So the two Rishonim can work on a project together, but it's not a kesh. It's not a real kesh. It's not something which is permanent. It's not real. Kesh Rishonim and a kesh. A lot of friendships that people have as adults, it's just a matter of, it makes you feel good, it's convenient, but it's not a kesh amiti, it's not a kesh pnimi. It's not a kesh pnimi. Usually the friendships that one has from when they were still innocent and pure, and somehow they held on to those friends, those ksharm are usually more easy to preserve because they began without ego. They began in a very simple and pure way. As adults, it's very hard. There should be a kesher amiti between people. It's very hard. Rak emes oisis roish tarich v'saif. Emes. When you come looking for the truth, emes, of course, is the roish, is the first letter of the aleph, is aleph, mem is the middle, and saf is the end. That holds together. The aleph, mem, and saf. Roish tarich v'saif, rak mikoyecha emes, ev shalach edvar. Only with this truth, with this emes, and there's a rotzen for emes, can you bring together all different types? Is there a chibur? Is there a kesha? Chibur she'enu chibur shel emes, enu chibur amiti. V'kevin she'enu amiti, enu kiyum. Any connection between people that is not for the truth, is not l'shem shemayim, it's not a chibur amiti, it's not a true chibur. It happens a lot of marriages. It happens a lot of friendships. It happens a lot of shuls and a lot of yeshivas. If it's not l'shem shemayim, if there are other cheshbonos, it's not a chibur amiti. It doesn't have glue that holds it together. It looks nice as long as it makes you feel good, but it could fall apart very easily because the intention is not l'shem shemayim. If the marriage is not l'shem shemayim, if the shul, if the yeshiva, if the friendship is not filled with that bakasha, as we're going to talk about, to find the truth and to have a chibur amiti and l'shem shemayim, then it doesn't have the glue to hold together. It's not a kesher. Kesher is shayim and a kesher. It's not a kesher. It's sheker. It has no keem. It can be for a little while, but it doesn't last. Hey mitzad komas hazman sheyachzik echiber. As far as the amount of time that they will stay together, it's very short. Hey mitzad ha'eches shel echiber. In terms of the quality of the chiber, it's a very weak connection. Shel titzim mekach to elis meruba. Just end a little bit more, another 5 minutes. Certainly, he says, it's not easy to find people that want to get together l'shem shemayim. L'shem shemayim. Ulam tzarech l'chapiz ha'isma'ay. You have to look for that very, very much. You have to look for that. You could be in a community that's filled with shuls and shtiblach, and it doesn't necessarily bring you closer to Hashem. Sometimes you need to find three friends to get together, to have a kesher amiti, in learning something, in talking about the Rebbeinu Shalom, in doing something in chesed, whatever it is, there should be a kesher amiti. He says, he says, you don't have to worry that there should be a lot of people. I was just talking to a chaver in Eretz Yisrael and I was pushing them very, very much, and I heard Baruch Hashem, they're doing this, they told me they're doing this, that they should try. It felt like they just, you know, a lot of people go to Eretz Yisrael, and it's graping in Eretz Yisrael, they move to Eretz Yisrael, but then they don't find themselves there. They don't have unless you're an yeshiva, you have, or you're a chassidus, you know, for that chas, that rabbit, but otherwise you could dray around in Eretz Yisrael, going for shakras here, minchadim, I have there, like a lot of people are draying around in America, they could do the same thing in Eretz Yisrael, without having a real feeling of being attached. So I said, no, you have 2-3 people like that already in the same community. So I said, make sure the shul is together. Without food, just a piece of bread and a can of gefilte fish. Once you start with the hachanis, then it's already not l'shem shemayim, right? That's for sure not l'shem shemayim. Then this wife's upset, that wife's upset, and how come it's here, why isn't it? Then becomes already a whole inyan. I said, don't start with anything with food. Just you bring a piece of challah, and you take out a piece of fish, and you eat it with your hands. And you know what? And l'shem shemayim, you start to sing, you start to say the vetayr. You have to make a kesher amiti between Jews who want to get close to Hashem. That's what's happening. And some of those places become eventually shtiblach and shuls too. And then it's hard to maintain it, to sustain it. Because other people say, hey, that's nice, I want to go. They go and they say, this is nice. And it starts to get very nice. And it starts to be 10 people, 12 people. And then the next thing you know, it's a tax-free, you know, basement. And then you have a shtibl or a shul. And then you have to daven and daven to try to hold on to that. But that's where it begins. It has to be a kesher amiti. B'chol eis, b'chol shat tzarech liska, zois, kol yachid. To remind each other and to remind ourselves that we should have the right intentions, it should be l'shem shamayim. It's very easy to forget this. It's very, very easy to forget this. So he says, therefore, I don't have time to read the rest of this, and next week I want to start on the safer inside. Therefore, he says, he goes on to much more in Eishei, and he says, we have to always daven. We have to always daven. Tfilos rabbis, and just a few sentences. The first sentence in Eishei, you have to daven a lot that the Rebbeinu Shalom help me that I should be able to do what I'm, that I should come to this shiur, it should be l'shem shemayim. And you'll see, he says, that if you try this and you daven each time you come to a shiur, each time you get together with other people working together on some chesed, on some good thing, on some project, each time you come to daven in that place, you'll see that if you daven and you ask Hashem Baruch to help you, that it should be more and more, that it should be l'shem shemayim. He says, then you will see that even though it's hard and it takes many times, he says, don't be misyayish. You try again, you do it again and again and again, and you'll see that you'll eventually be able to come to this, that you'll be able to have this very strong, very, very strong hergish of receiving daily day one from the other. This is the introduction that he gives to the chapter that deals with the Ahavas Hashem, which we're going to begin with in Hashem. We're going to begin with next week. It's Bilvavi Mishkan Evna Chelek Hey Shkaya.